It's time for the Rink Rats with your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. Special guest in studio. Hello.
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 Wait, no, aren't I supposed to do the hello?
No, no, no. Should I be more inquisitive on no. You go hello.
And oh, then I have to do the Jason hello.
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 Yeah. Like he's confused on what the correct.
The real answer is he just wanted to be part of something.
How did that come about? Was it just you? Because I know you started it.
Yeah.
It was just the hello. And then all of a sudden, it's your enthusiastic hello.
So have you ever been in a situation where, do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
Yeah. So like if your brother gets something awesome and like is always playing with it, and then you need to like also have something to like be slightly as interesting.
Sure.
That's what it was. It was that.
We don't have that here.
So like I had Pogs and he was running around with crazy bones, you know.
I have no idea what
did he get one of those moon slammers?
Do you know what Pokemon is?
Yes, I know what Pokemon are.
You know what Pokemon was before Pokemon Go?
Slightly.
Okay, so he doesn't know what Pokemon is.
I know what they are. I was walking around a park catching squirrels.
No, not those Pokemon.
This is awful.
This is embarrassing. Hockey.
Yeah, sure, let's get to it. So free agency opened last night, or yesterday, actually. And
you don't know when they're listening to this.
Okay, 2 days from now.
Could be anything.
It could be. It's possible.
Could be last year.
No.
Maybe.
No, we're still in 2018.
If you're listening to this in 2019, turn it off.
But here's the thing. No one's going to be listening to this in 2019. Like, we're good for like a week and a half, and then people start to yell at us about not putting out enough content. So, free agency.
We don't have that problem.
Hello. So free agency, John Tavares, biggest name out there, right? Decides to go home and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thoughts, opinions, anything. Anybody care?
I don't blame him. I mean, we're looking at the center combinations, and we'll talk about them later, that the Golden Knights have. But
sure.
If you're Toronto, and you've got Tavares and Auston Matthews.
And Kadri.
Kadri's your third line center.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Tavares, and they obviously, once you get to that point, once you're that good, everyone's paying you the same, basically.
Sure.
Like, I don't think the money had much to do with where he was going to go.
It's life-changing one way or the other. It doesn't matter.
And I think whatever team you want to go to, you just tell them to match what the other team did, and they will, because at that point, they're all in on you.
Yep.
So I don't think money had anything to do with it. It's just a situation. It's like, I can go home.
Mm-hmm.
I can play on a team that has the potential to be really, really good. And most importantly, if I win a cup in Toronto, it means more than if I win a cup in any of the other 30 teams in the NHL.
Oh, absolutely.
He would be an absolute god in his hometown, and that's tough to turn down.
Yep. The only other one would be, the only thing that's close would be New York with the Islanders, just because that's where you started, that's where he was. So, like, there is something special about going through the process of finally getting the cup. But you're right.
But they've just won four, and it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, but like, But Toronto, I'm with you.
Toronto cares more about the Maple Leafs than any city does, maybe, about their team, but especially more than New York does about the
Vegas
Islanders.
Because
the Rangers are obviously the team there.
Have you met a Golden Knights fan?
Yeah.
They are.
The Rangers are, the Islanders are the Rangers' little brothers in New York. So there is that. Whereas Toronto, obviously the Maple Leafs are king over everything. Whereas in the city of New York, the Islanders are like the sixth most popular sports team.
Yeah. You look at Tavares, and I think that you guys are absolutely right. Money had nothing to do with it. It was all about whether or not he wanted to come and play at home. And I think you look at that team, you look at what they have. Now, obviously, they still don't have anything really worthwhile on defense. They haven't
addressed. Is that necessary?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be. I don't think Toronto's going to win the Stanley Cup. They might win a round or two, but they got to get better on defense. Yeah. They have to.
Have a lot of space to do it. They have it this year, but they don't have it moving forward.
Right. So it's interesting to see what they may do in the next couple of weeks, because they're going to have to do something to bolster the defense if they're going to take a shot at it this year.
If I'm them, I slow play it. Let me see what I have. Let me go play a bunch of games, because whether we want to admit it or not, in this sport of hockey, if you're a halfway decent team, the regular season means absolutely nothing.
Sure.
You're going to make the playoffs. It's going to be fine, and it doesn't really matter. So you've got until the end of February to figure out, do I need an offensive-minded defenseman? Do I need a stay-at-home defenseman? Do I need three mid-range defensemen? If you go trying to fix the roster today, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be more likely to make a mistake.
Sure.
As opposed to, it is possible, and it is possible to wait and then not make the mistake of the deadline. Plus, this gives you some time to try out some other players to put yourself in a position where you, and to use the Golden Knights example, see what Merrill is, see what Hunt is. I don't know who those guys are for the Leafs because I frankly don't cover the Leafs and nor care all that much about the Leafs. But
well,
that gives them a better option.
Yeah, and I think a better example is see who Nate Schmidt is, because what if they have a guy?
Right, that's exactly right.
Because Nate Schmidt was nothing before he came to the goal. They were healthy scratching him in Washington. Like, he sucked.
He
like,
was $2 million in arbitration.
You're not good. Yeah. And now he's a number one defenseman.
Right.
Now, the chances Toronto has that guy are not good, but they may have him, and you'll never know if you go out and make a bunch of trades right now and get rid of a bunch of stuff, and then say that guy does come along, and it's like, wow. We could have all that stuff we gave up for this guy. We had him sitting right here.
Sure, and to be honest with you, it was addition by subtraction. Getting rid of Roman Polak, he's not going to be with the Leafs next year. That'll help them. Jake Gardner. We keep hearing about him taking the next step, taking the next step, taking the next step. And if you look back at the Game 7 that he had against the Boston Bruins, it was atrocious. He was awful. And that is something where you look at the young talent for the Toronto Maple Leafs and you say to yourself, at some point, the guys on the back end need to take that next step. And it's been that way for 2 or 3 years now, and it just hasn't happened. So I don't know if the answer lies within their organization. Maybe it does in the minors. But right now, I don't see their defense being anywhere close to what their offensive upside looks like. And at some point, you're going to have to get better there in order to win some hockey games.
Travis Dermott?
Yeah, that's a good name.
That's like the one guy that you look down their roster, and that's the one guy who is NHL ready, at least it seems. He signed an NHL contract. They have him listed in the NHL roster. But you look down the list, like the only other one that makes a lot of sense would be Liljegren, and he's 19. That's not happening.
It sounded like Ryan was going that way, but I got to bring up my favorite position. He needs to play better.
Defense
is not helping him out because they play such an up and down. They're playing basketball on a hockey rink, essentially. We're going to go down and try to score. Then you can come down and try to score.
Yeah, but
we're
going to go down. Pickard, though, as an option.
But Frederik Andersen took a major step back, I thought, from the prior year.
He wasn't good. Yeah.
You're right. And the previous year, when they really like rose and made the playoffs for the first time, he was really good. And then he took a step back last year. He's 28, so it's not like he's some young kid.
Didn't he get a Vezina vote?
Probably
some
did.
Some idiot in Toronto. Hopefully he's not listening to this.
But here's the thing.
If he's listening, you're an idiot.
If they play that up and down style and Frederik Andersen can't be that guy, what are they doing?
Well, I mean,
Mike Babcock's going to have to figure out a way to get this team to play better defensively.
Yeah,
from a systems perspective.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think Andersen should be better regardless. Like, let's just say the defense doesn't improve and they're exactly the same. He needs to be better.
By the way, he finished in fourth in Vezina ahead of Marc-Andre Fleury.
Insanity.
And John Gibson and Sergei Bobrovsky.
Well, I would say the reason he did that is because people are looking at stats, and he made a ton of saves because they'd give up 40 shots a game. And a lot of them are from the outside, and they weren't like, I remember in the playoffs, like there were games where he had like 43 saves. It's like, but he didn't even play that good of a game because he's just getting peppered the whole time.
So Toronto, are they now the measuring stick in their division?
No.
Who's ahead of them? Right now, on paper.
I just don't think that they're, like, to be the measuring stick, that means they're for sure winning the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to for sure win the division.
You think Boston's better than them
right
now?
I don't think they're, I mean, it's hard to tell.
I think the Lightning are better than them right now.
That's possible.
I mean, even
I think right now I'd pick the Lightning in a 7-game, even with Tavares.
I have no idea.
Okay.
How do you know? Like, I think because
this is what we do.
I don't think it's so much harder than basketball. Basketball is much easier to say, okay, LeBron's now a Laker. They're going to be really good. It's not that easy. Like, Tavares, it's not to say he's not going to work. He's going to be a good player. He's going to get stats. But I don't necessarily know that it's going to work as a team and they're going to be awesome. Like,
it's such a confusing spot. Exactly. But the argument is John Tavares is going to take some of those minutes away from Austin Matthews where he's going up against top competition.
Right.
You're going to give more space to Austin Matthews. He is an elite goal scorer in this league. It stands to reason that Austin Matthews
should... He'll be healthier. Of course he should be better.
Right. And Kadri sliding into that third center spot with Matthews and Tavares ahead of him, up and down, those three guys should be incredibly good.
But I'm not putting them as the measuring stick because of the unknown of what it's going to be. They have question marks. Their goalie don't think is all that good. They are not great defensively. They didn't fix that. And now you're adding such a massive game-changing piece that it may not work.
To Ken's point of how hard it is to predict, I mean, we're guys that watch and try to analyze hockey. Matt Duchene plays hockey for a living. Played on the Colorado Avalanche. Is there a person that knows the Colorado Avalanche better than Matt Duchene? Probably not. I mean, he knows.
He's in the locker room
with those guys. He plays with them on the ice. He's practicing with them every day. He thought, I have a much better chance of being in the playoffs in Ottawa than I do in Colorado. And look at how wrong he was.
Actually, Paul Stastny said something similar. I don't think he was pointing out that particular situation, but I think that situation was in his mind when he said, I don't like long-term deals because this league is so unpredictable that it's nice to know that my deal is going to come up at some point relatively soon. And if there is a bad situation that I'm in or there's a better situation or whatever, I can maneuver my way into that situation. It goes to serve for him. He just became a free agent on what I believe was a 3-year deal. And now he wound up on a team that didn't exist when he signed the deal.
And right now, it looks like he's going to a team that's going to be a contender for those 3 years, but they could easily beat Ottawa. Or you see it every year. Yeah. A team makes the final and then is just garbage the next year. Now, do we think that's going to happen with the Golden Knights? Do I think that's going to happen? No.
It's got to be the Caps. Please be the Caps.
Yeah, but it could happen. And if you're Duchene, do you now want to be stuck on what if the Golden Knights are exactly what we thought they were going to be before, and like now you're stuck on them for 6 years? Obviously you don't want that. So anyways, the whole point I was trying to make is it's impossible, and it's almost pointless to try to predict who's going to win that division right now.
I think the measuring stick
question's fair. We're not picking, are they winning the division? Are they the measuring stick? I would say absolutely not, because it's a moving measuring stick.
Sure.
I don't know what it is. Like, if I walk up to the thing and say, you're this tall to ride the roller coaster, well, right now it's like 7'2" is what it seems like, but then it could be 4'1" in a minute. Who knows? Because it's moving. We have no idea. Where we do know what Tampa is. Tampa's very good. I would make the argument Toronto still needs to now prove that with Tavares, they can be as good as Tampa. They can be as good as Boston, because they weren't as good as either last season.
Right. I guess then arguing the semantics of the question is fine, but are they closer to two teams?
You got to be, right?
Significantly closer.
Are we idiots if we say no, right?
I mean, Toronto lost Bozak. They lost Komarov. They've lost pieces that filled in roles for them. So, I mean, I'm not saying that adding Tavares makes them worse. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But they did lose a lot of their leadership core in Bozak and Komarov. And you've got Mike Babcock, who doesn't necessarily mesh well with a lot of players. Is it going to create any types of issues within the locker room if Austin Matthews isn't getting the reps that he's used to getting?
Those are questions. I think they're better. I think Tampa. I'm more comfortable with Tampa than I am with Toronto.
Are you comfortable with Toronto making the playoffs?
Of course.
You comfortable with them winning a series?
Depends on who they're playing. They go against Pittsburgh in the first round because they get a wild card, because that division's so tough. Like, you never know.
I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Bookmark it. They're going to win a series.
Okay, there we go.
I'll take them winning one.
Hold on. I want to see where you're going with Pittsburgh.
Well, I can't wait for them to get a wild card spot.
Okay.
And then Pittsburgh wins the Atlantic or Metropolitan, and they have to play Pittsburgh. They're going to lose to Pittsburgh.
But Matt Murray's trash.
Yeah, he is. But the rest of the team is so good, it doesn't matter.
I'll take it.
Even against Pittsburgh.
What are we betting?
An awful goalie like Matt Murray. You don't think Toronto, with those three centers, could beat Matt Murray?
Oh, they could. I just don't think they will, because okay. I think that Pittsburgh's better.
So what about the Islanders? What about the general managers on Long Island, mainly Gar Snow, not moving John Tavares at the deadline, not getting anything for him, understanding that this was a potential? Lou Lamoriello comes in, tries to salvage the situation, and the Islanders lose their superstar, their guy, and there's nothing coming back in return.
I think Ken and I had this conversation off the air, but they had a chance to get Tavares, so you have to go. It's not like
they were second place.
It's not like situations where you know damn well you're losing him, but you just keep him anyways.
Eric Karlsson.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, he's clearly not. And I mean, you see it in basketball the most. That's the sport that it happens the most because they never want to stay. So teams are constantly trying to trade him before they leave. But that wasn't the case with Tavares. I think they not only did they think they had a chance, they thought they were the favorites. And it seems like they were. I think Tavares, in his mind, he was leaning to going back. And then Toronto came in and blew him away with an offer, and it's his hometown team. But, like for example, if Toronto wasn't his hometown team and they didn't exist and, like, San Jose was the best offer, I think he goes back to New York. So they had a legit chance at keeping him, and I think it's worth the risk of losing him for nothing to try to keep him. Because what you got back wasn't going to be that good.
Well, it's better than what they got.
Which was nothing.
But I think it's also an example of you've got to have a plan with where you're going with your front office. If you're Garth Snow and you trade him, mm-hmm. why would you do such a thing? You're aware. He thought the way I save my job is John Tavares.
Sure.
He's going to re-sign, and that's going to save my job. If you trade him, you're now trading him for future assets that are 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And it wouldn't shock me if this same situation is going on with Pierre Dorion, where it's like, yes, I'm aware I need to trade Erik Karlsson. We're not getting Erik Karlsson back. However, what good do assets do if I'm the assistant general manager for the Carolina Hurricanes? It doesn't do me any good in Ottawa. That's where I think Garth Snow may have been looking.
So you're saying you don't want to help out the next GM after you get fired?
I'm saying so that you happens.
Are,
yes.
So you are in spite of the guy who's taking your job, yes. purposely sabotaging your own
what
team.
Think
about this. What would have saved Garth Snow's job? At the deadline, what saves his job is two things. One, they make a run to the playoffs.
Okay.
And all of a sudden become good. If he makes a move, did they do anything? I can't remember.
I don't think that's going to stick out.
And
to
that
us.
Would have been dumb because then now you're in an
even
worse spot.
Well, no, I mean, their main thing would have been
that's
unloading
number
Tavares.
That's number one. Would be saving. If you're Garth Snow, you're saving your job by making the playoffs or by getting John Tavares back. By moving him, you're saying reload, restart. And if I'm the Islanders, I'm like, well, Lou Lamoriello might be available. I'm probably just going to go that route. They didn't even give Garth Snow a chance to get John Tavares back. Wouldn't have mattered, I don't think.
No.
So, but yes, I do think that general managers look out for themselves as much, if not more, than the organization. So they should be lockstep. But if one's not, it puts you in a bad spot, and you make decisions that are rash to try to save your job, and that may have been why you wouldn't have looked to it, because they weren't going to get pieces that were going to help immediately at the deadline.
Yeah, but so you ask how Garth Snow could have saved his job. How does Dorion save his job? It's by trading Karlsson, Shea Theodore coming in, proving he can be a number one defenseman.
Well, I'm not
you
saying
have
it's
Cody Glass, who looks amazing.
But,
yeah,
but I'm trying to come up with some sort of rationale. Why are they not trading Erik Karlsson already? Why are they not finding out something to do with Stone?
Stubborn.
Could possibly be, well, maybe I save my job by this team not sucking.
Yeah, but I mean,
if you keep them all, Ottawa shouldn't be horrendous.
They shouldn't be horrendous, but I don't think not being horrendous is going to get Pierre Dorion where he needs to go. I mean, this team was 2 years ago a goal away from the Stanley Cup final.
Probably should have gone.
They probably should have. But at some point, Pierre Dorion's got to figure out what it is he's going to do with Erik Karlsson. Because it's either trade him and get something or lose him for nothing. Because we all know Erik Karlsson is not going to re-sign with the Ottawa Senators. It's just not going to happen. The contract offer on July 1 was merely a, hey guys, I tried.
Yeah, it's PR. I told you
we were going to do it, and we did it, and the ball's in his court. But it's not going to be signed. He's not going to extend with Ottawa. So what does Pierre Dorion do now? Because by all accounts, there's really only a couple of teams that are interested, and there's really only one that might be able to take on Bobby Ryan's contract.
What the owner wants.
In the Golden Knights.
That's what the owner wants, yeah. And that's important.
Well, Melnick's the one that's going to sign off on it anyway.
That, my point is that's a big part of why I think it's taking so long. It's because I think the general manager's saying, well, look, we need to consider trading him on his own and trading him with Ryan, where the owner is like, no, you're trading Ryan. That's happening. So now you need to figure out how to get the best return on both of them. And he's like, well, but there's going to be more suitors if we don't do it that way. Yeah, but no. And McPhee's sitting back saying, well, they're eventually going to come to their senses, yeah. And he's going to sign off on the deal. We're going to get this done, and I'll be happy. Nothing else makes sense for how McPhee went about this offseason if that's not the plan.
Yeah, I think part of the reason Dorion doesn't want to do the deal also is he knows – He's the general manager. He got this job for a reason. Mm-hmm. He knows what Erik Karlsson is worth.
Yeah.
Just the player, Erik Karlsson. This is what he's worth. What he's going to get back from the Golden Knights eventually is going to be about a fifth of that.
Yeah,
sure.
And I feel like his pride
sucks.
Yeah. Is too much. And this would be me too. Like, I'm not saying this is a negative for Dorion. I think he can't trade Erik Karlsson for a fifth of what he's worth.
Yeah.
Because he looks like an idiot when he does that. When he does that trade, the average person that doesn't know all these inner workings is going to say, that's what he got back for Karlsson? These Senators fans that are casuals, that just follow the team, they go to a game here or there, they're going to see Erik Karlsson for who? He got absolutely nothing.
It's like calling your mother-in-law on her birthday.
And he looks...
You don't want to do it. But you know you got to get it over with.
Yeah, it looks like
it. So you just keep kicking it down the road, and then it's 11:15, and it's too late, and now you're a jerk.
Yeah. But I think that's why, and I think he will eventually, but that's why it's taking so long, because he's simply saying, no, I won't trade him for that.
I don't want to do it.
I will not do that.
So then I don't want to take a bath.
At what point does this offer start to come down a little bit as far as the return for Dorion? Because if he drags it on into the season, if he drags it on toward the trade deadline, you know that the desperation is going to improve, because if he doesn't get a deal done by February.
My answer is October 4th.
You think it has to be?
The deal changes on October 4th.
Yeah, I agree.
If it's on October 3rd and they come to their senses and say, we'll do it, and you're Vegas, you're like, all right, fine.
No. That's not what I do. Maybe this is because I'm mean. This is what I do. If I'm George McPhee, this is what I do. Let's just say, just for argument's sake, the offer is Shea Theodore, Cody Glass, and a first-round
pick. Don't even do it that way. Just call it four pieces.
Okay, but I need the pieces to have names just for the purpose of this.
All right, fine.
So say it's Cody Glass, a first, a second, and Shea Theodore. Whatever. This offer has been on the table. You've left it there. I'm McPhee. I've left it for him. He keeps saying no. Finally, October 3rd, he finally is like, you know what? I'll do it. And I'll say, awesome, except for it's not Cody Glass, it's Nick Hag. The offer just got worse.
So then so if he calls up today.
Oh, it's Cody Glass.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
What if he calls up in a month?
I don't know.
That's my point. My point is, it's October 3rd. Once I play a game, deal needs
to
change.
I think
I can go there.
Training camp.
No, actually, I think today, if he did it, I would do that. If I'm McPhee.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because that's what you do, and this is just like not even hockey.
No, you can do that, but
this
you
just
can't ruin the deal. Because do you agree or no that they need to get this done to make it an absolutely successful To be as successful as they can be next season, they need Erik Karlsson.
To be as successful as they can be next season, they should also trade their next 18 first-round picks for all-star players.
I get that, but this is the only elite player that you have a legitimate shot to get without completely depleting, because you only have to pay a fifth of what he's worth.
Yeah.
Right? So you do kind of need this to get done. And when you look at what George McPhee has done in this offseason, it's almost mind-blowing that there's exactly the right amount of cap space to get the deal done. He clearly has this in the plans.
Of course.
He's mentioned things like that press conference was like just setting it up.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Look at all these things I'm feeding you so that when I get Erik Karlsson, you can say, look, he kind of told us on that day. Like, if it doesn't happen... I don't know that plan B looks as good as plan A. So
plan B is what they have, and it's good enough to get to the Stanley Cup final. They're better right now than they were at the end of the year, I think.
Personnel-wise, I could probably agree.
Yeah.
But I think that situationally it might be different. Based on the fact that I still cannot believe that they did not go through adversity until game 5 of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, but I think...
Unreal.
And when I say they're better, I don't just mean they added Stastny, because that's pretty much the only addition.
When you move pieces
I think Alex Tuch is now in his second year as a
going to be more comfortable.
He's going to take a step up. I think Eric Halla is now in his second year as a top six guy that's a focal point. I think he's going to be a lot better defensively, and I just think he's going to be better overall. Guys like William Karlsson's in the same situation as Halla. Is he going to put up 43 goals? No, but I think he's going to be a better player. I think this team is better than they were. So I don't think they need to get the Karlsson trade done. So that's why I say...
It's not a need. You really want to, though.
I really want to. And
it's the plan you have for your franchise.
But Dorian wants it more than
I do. You have this plan moving forward with Erik Karlsson quarterbacking everything you do on the back end. In order for George McPhee to see through what he wanted to do from the deadline to now, it's Karlsson.
So if they call up today, why would you mess with it? Why would you make it harder? Why would you?
Because he needs it more than I do.
I would agree, but he is also in the position where he has reason to wait.
This is what I would do.
Someone else can at any moment. It's like overbidding on the house. Yeah, I'll give you $400,000 for the house that's worth $350,000. And you're like, yeah, okay, but they want $405,000. You're like, I'm not doing it. I'll wait because I don't think anyone's going to come in. But you're in the back of your mind, your thought always is someone could.
Yeah.
It is possible. Somebody could slide in there and steal Erik Karlsson away from the Golden Knights.
Have him.
And then your plan has to change.
You can have him then.
Yeah, so okay,
and then in 3 years when Shea Theodore and Cody Glass are both better than Erik Karlsson,
do you think that's going to happen?
I think it's a reasonable thing to think.
Better than Erik Karlsson
together
is at that moment.
Yeah.
Wait, is at that moment.
Yes.
So you think they're going to lose the deal?
If they give Cody Glass and Shea Theodore, I think they might lose the deal, and a first round pick that turns into something you never know.
The thing,
Ottawa's making the pick, though.
That's true. The thing about Shea Theodore in Ottawa that scares me if I'm Ottawa is Guy Boucher's style and how it can really hamper the development of a guy that needs to be able to be just out there doing his thing, making plays, and not being afraid to make mistakes.
What if they wanted McNabb?
Oh, give him to him.
Take it.
Over Shea?
It's more in line with what they do as an organization.
I mean, what if they wanted McNabb and Hag?
Yes,
and I agree with you. I'm on board, but it's like what I'm saying is, if you're looking at it as they're going to screw up Shea Theodore, and they're not going to think they're going to screw up Shea Theodore,
but they may
look at style and say maybe we don't want to go down that road. And that's where Colin Miller's name's been thrown out. That's an even worse fit than
style-wise.
I would like to give up Nick Hag a lot more.
I would too, but Shea Theodore, obviously. But I still think that if we're talking about, and you brought the number up, if you're giving up a fifth of what Erik Karlsson's value is, how the heck do you lose that deal?
Because you're going all... I don't like the philosophy of going all in. I said... This deal is better for them this year. Absolutely. You're not losing it this year. Long term, you can lose the deal. If Shea Theodore ends up becoming what I think he can, if Cody Glass ends up becoming an all-star center, which I absolutely think he can, I don't know what they're going to do with that first-round pick.
All right, let me project it out. What is Shea Theodore projected out to be in your mind? Like, give me a comparable player. Is he Drew Doughty?
No. Okay. I don't think he's
Drew
Doughty.
Is he Erik Karlsson?
No, I think Erik Karlsson's better than Drew Doughty.
I would agree with you.
Okay, yeah. So if he's not Drew Doughty, he's definitely not.
You're going the wrong way. The argument Jesse's making is it's not each player individually, it's collectively.
Okay. So projecting
Shea Theodore will equal what Erik Karlsson can do for
you, which
just lends to how amazing of a player Erik Karlsson actually is.
Shea Theodore can be Brent Burns. Not great defensively.
You think that's going to happen?
Dangerous offensive. That's absolute ceiling.
Wow.
I would say he ends up being 80% of
Brent Burns. You're saying Shea Theodore has a legitimate shot of winning a Norris?
I Okay. Ceiling is Brent Burns.
That's a Norris.
What about? Yeah. That's his ceiling. That's the best he could possibly be. I'm gonna say legitimate shot of being about 80% as good as Brent Burns, okay. But that type of player.
And Cody Glass is.
Cody Glass is.
Mark Scheifele?
Yes. Yes.
See, I don't think that's.
I think he's better. I think he's better than.
I think
Scheifele.
Also the risk of whether or not that happens is why I would make the deal for Carlson, because I also think Erik Karlsson's going to be good for 5 years for sure, if not all seven. That I'm sorry, all eight. I get him for.
Yeah. See,
I also don't know how Vegas finds that player at that age. Like, what is he? 27.
He's 28.
So that's, let's say it's Erik Brännström. That's 10 years from now that I have that. That's a long time. So all of these pieces don't make any difference. See, because now I've gotten my transcendent player, which I don't think they have. I love William Karlsson. I don't think he's Erik.
You bring up Brännström, which is interesting, because if you look at bringing in Karlsson now, and if you think that Brännström can be a player of that caliber,
then he's the
who
next,
better yeah. to learn from than Erik Karlsson? Who better to help you along with your game? And then you look at the Golden Knights franchise and you say for the next 15 years, they have
Aaron Rodgers,
yeah. they have a number one elite defenseman. I mean, you can't set yourself up any better than that. You really can't.
And when I'm arguing this, I'm not saying I'm 90-10 against the trade. I'm like 51-49. Like,
what if it's not Glass? Because we know you all have a inappropriateness for Glass. Like,
what if it's Suzuki?
If it's Suzuki, I feel better. I still like Suzuki, but I don't think he's got the potential.
Like Theodore, Suzuki, and first.
I feel better than Theodore Glass in a first, but still not slam dunk. This is a win. Now, if it's Hag.
Signed, sealed, delivered for me.
If it's Hag.
Done.
And I don't know what else, because you're switching theater. But like Hag, I don't think. He has the potential that Glass and Suzuki have, but I think it's a lot less likely he reaches that potential than those two.
I don't think they agree.
I think they're
very high on that.
Every time I watch him. It blows my mind that he does what he does in juniors.
Oh, I'm with you, but I don't
understand.
He's doing it in juniors. He's doing it against kids. He's not doing it against men.
But then he's out there at development camp against the same age kids.
Well, right.
But and I'm like, who is this person I'm watching?
But it's early in his offseason. Like, you have to take everything that these guys are doing on the ice with a grain of salt. They're not in mid-season form. They haven't really been on the ice. They're in the middle of their off-season preparations for next season. I mean, it's really not necessarily the best indicator of where they are on their development.
They often also, with a guy like that, will tell him, this is what you're working on in this development camp. When we play a scrimmage, I want you to play, and whatever it happens to be, I don't know what it would even be with him, but it's like he's not playing Nick Hag hockey. He's playing, I'm going to eventually be a great Golden Knight. This is what I need to do, because it doesn't matter if I'm terrible in this.
Of course. And his biggest asset is taken away when you do scrimmages, because his biggest asset is hitting the puck through people into the goal. And in a scrimmage, you're not lining up howitzers at the blue line.
Would it shock you?
So pivots and gap control are not his specialty?
No.
Fancy footwork.
But that's my point.
Skating on the ice.
That's what you see him working on the most.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Exactly. Maybe that's what they're trying to have him do. And I have no idea. Like, I thought that about Jordan Coy. When Jordan Coy went in the goal the first time, he it was not even worth having him in there. Like, you might as well just have the extra skater. It was the goal was wide open. And I think that he was awful. And then the next day, he was great, because I have a feeling they told him, okay, play Dave Pryor goalie, and you try it, and he's an absolute disaster. You're like, yeah, go do your thing today, and then he's good. And then the next day, you're like, let's do a little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like spring training. Throw 97 curveballs in a row, and they give up 17 home runs, and you're like, this pitcher's terrible. Well, that's because he's not playing.
I agree with you, but at the same time, all the players are doing that, and when Erik Brännström...
I don't agree.
When Erik Brännström touches the puck, even if they're telling him do something that you're not comfortable with, you can see it.
Yeah, you know, I love
this kid is better than everyone else out there. Same with Cody Glass. Same with Nick Suzuki. There were other kids.
I don't agree with those.
Kerrick Baker,
he was great.
When he touched the puck, you thought, "Wow, look at that! He looks smooth on the ice.
You
he
thought
looks
that
like a hockey player
with Glass and Suzuki throughout development camp."
Yeah,
The same way you thought with Brännström.
No. Brännström's on another level.
Right.
But they are the tier below. Nick Hag, I wouldn't even know he was a draft pick. For all I know, this kid is one of the signees here. No. Like, what is he doing?
So let me kind of jump off that for a minute and get on Zach Whitecloud for a minute. What did you see from him in development camp that makes you think that your article might be true, that he might be the guy that kind of fills in and comes into camp with a chance of making the roster?
Well, one, it's because he's older and he's closer to being ready.
More mature, yep.
He's 21. He's the same age that Tuck was last year. With sure. That, and that's part of the reason I wrote it. And another part is he gained 15 pounds of muscle since he signed with the Golden Knights. What is going on over here?
this is funny.
The mic, so, the cord was in the wheel, and then the wheel was.
So anyways, I don't, and especially after free agency, I don't think Whitecloud is going to start with the Golden Knights.
No,
but he could work his way up into the team. And what I saw from him in rookie development camp was he was very unspectacular.
Exactly.
Very boring. Mm-hmm. Very simple. Never got himself in trouble. He does what Luca Spezza does. Mm-hmm. But he's obviously younger, and he has the potential to be better than that.
Sure.
But that's his game. He is a stay-at-home defenseman. He's not making the Eric. Even Nick Hag, every once in a while, will make a toe drag and fling it
the
600
toe drag,
the 600 miles an hour at the net, and like, holy crap, sure, how did he get that off?
Idea.
But yeah, it's good. So he's a guy that the majority of people at City National that went and watched those scrimmages have no idea who he is, because he never makes a play that makes you say, whoa, did you see that guy? He just doesn't allow the other players to make that play against him.
And he doesn't make a play like, oh, did you see that guy? Oh, my God, I can't believe he made such a bad read or such a horrible play.
The Eric Brännström mixtape moment.
It's not Lucas Spezza turning the puck over twice in a 5-minute span.
That's bad Lucas Spezza, but I mean, for the majority of the season, Spezza was a safe
That didn't happen
play.
In your no, mind? No, it's, no. A, it's a thing. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, no,
it is, but
no.
It is. I meant to ask you how you're doing. It's been a while.
Yeah, no, I got one of those Men in Black things.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So in your mind right now, the Golden Knights are still waiting to play game one of the Stanley Cup
Finals.
Yeah,
playoffs are a different game.
Game two.
Okay, yeah. The playoffs are a different game. We're having that argument again. No, my question to you is, which they're not, but you honestly think that development camp, you're less likely, thinking he's less likely to make the roster?
Whitecloud?
Yeah, than you did before it started?
Not because of development camp, because of Holden signing. I didn't think the Golden Knights were going to sign.
Would do that.
I didn't think the Golden Knights were going to sign a guy to plug into the lineup. And I'm looking at Spezza leaving, and I'm seeing a roster spot, thinking that is Zach Whitecloud.
Yeah, I think he could beat out Nick Holden though.
I think he could too. But I'm like I said, that's what makes me less. I think now he's probably going to start in Chicago. The first defenseman that gets hurt, he's the guy that comes up. It's like it's like when the Golden Knights were going through forward issues. It was Hika. Then it was Mateau.
It was Tuck.
But that was like different. That was
not
they
really.
Wanted him. They wanted him on the lineup.
No, I think
lineup.
That's they would do the same thing. The thing is, when you get to camp, and we'll talk about this a lot more when we get there, waivers are way more used before game one than they are after game one. So Whitecloud is waiver exempt, so he will probably not make the roster out of camp based on being waiver exempt. And we know McPhee will play that game.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yep. So I think that's why he doesn't make the roster. But I think what I saw, I actually think he did exactly what you would want him to do.
Yes.
And I think I would have a feeling that if I got a chance to talk to Gallant, he would say, yeah, Whitecloud, that's what we wanted him to do. I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, no, so do I. Like I said, I think he was good in development camp. He doesn't make any spectacular plays. He gives you no reason to ooh and awe over him. He just is very solid. He's what he is.
Do you
is
ooh and
be.
Awe or him and haw?
I ooh and awe.
Okay.
Him and haw sounds like something I would do if I was from Alabama. I don't know why that just sounds like. But anyways, Ken is so upset right now.
Civil War.
So
should we talk about Paul Stastny?
Who's that?
I
know Golden. Paul Stanning.
Stanny, Stanky?
No, Paul Stastny.
Like, how many different ways has it been
why
pronounced?
Why is it so hard?
It's not.
It's not.
It's Stastny.
I agree.
Stastny. I mean, it's pretty simple.
The great Denver pioneer.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Are you super excited
he's
now a Golden Knight? So
who do you get more inappropriate about, him or Cody Glass?
Cody Glass is underage.
Because mine is clearly, well, that doesn't matter.
No.
When were we really going to change?
Yours is, Hika?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I, yeah.
And
I mean,
Brännström.
Well, I'm right there with you with Brännström. But I, by the way, my story that came out on Brännström today, glorious.
Is this the part where he pumps up his stories?
No, no, we usually save that for the end, but he's getting it in now. Hashtag
I was going to leave.
And you guys were there for the press conferences, but like the glowing endorsement, the things that the coaches say about him.
The word dynamic kept coming
and
up.
And special.
Yeah, he he's unafraid. Paul on the ice. And he just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got way off topic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can keep going back to Brännström. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
I love doing that.
So,
plenty of time on Stastny where Brännström's going to disappear into thin air and on us, probably.
He's going to be in Chicago. He's going to play in North America.
Let's talk about that. Now that we're on Brännström. Where is he playing? Because you, I think, have started swaying towards my side.
What's your side? Because you and I haven't talked.
AHL.
AHL?
That's where he should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to make the prediction he's going to go to Brandon.
I completely disagree.
And I hope that doesn't happen. I think it's a bad decision. But I think I saw enough out of him in development camp that was, what in God's name are you doing, Erik Brännström, that they're not going to be willing to put that in Chicago because – the people in Chicago are going to look at that and be like, we're not going to play him then.
Listen.
He will lose you games.
Those scrimmages
win you games.
Were a complete joke to him. A complete joke to him.
But they are his one chance, his first chance to show this organization, I'm making the Vegas Golden Knights. He was going to go above and beyond to do these things. Why would he have gotten picked in Brandon?
I'm more interested to see how Brännström handles camp as opposed to development.
I would agree.
I want to see if he shies away from making those blind.
And what do you think he's gonna do?
I don't think he will.
He's gonna be a lunatic. And yeah,
I don't know. See,
probably.
No, I think he's going to be more tame. Watch his world tape. When you watch him in worlds, he's in juniors. He's fine. Like when he plays for Team Sweden, he's.
When he plays for which team, Sweden? When he plays for the big team, Sweden?
No.
Yeah, he has to back off a little bit. When he plays for the...
Under 18.
The
or
one
under
that
20,
played in
whatever,
that, whatever that world showcase was,
yeah.
He was doing the same crap
loved it. Way more tame. Way more tame.
I think he's going to... you realize it starts with rookies, right? Camp starts with rookies.
Yes.
He's going to come in and be the same guy during that portion, and it's going to be too late. Because now you're there. And again, I don't want him to go to Brandon. But the reason I think he goes to Brandon is because I think that happened for a reason. If it was anyone other than Brandon, I would say that's stupid.
I think
he's
going to
be. Because it was Brandon and because Kelly McCrimmon made that happen, that's why I think it's possible.
No, I completely agree with you there. How much does it stunt his development, though, if he's playing in Brandon and not in Chicago?
If I was him, I'd go back to Sweden. If they told me to go to Brandon, I'd go back to Sweden.
Oh, that sounds awful.
No, that sounds better than junior hockey.
No, it sounds awful from an organization.
Yeah, sure.
Well, then don't do stupid shit. That is stupid. It is moronic to send him to Canadian junior hockey.
No, agree with that.
It is completely moronic.
But to Ken's point, is he going to play in Chicago?
Then play him in Sweden.
Why would you
want another
year in
Sweden? But they want him in North America. He wants to be in North America.
He should be in North America.
He needs to adjust to this game.
He should be playing against adults. No, he doesn't need to adjust to this game playing against children. Listen, the reason
I'm talking about Chicago. He's not going to be playing.
No,
he's not going to play. It's worse to be in Chicago and not play.
The tier is what he should do is he wants to be a Golden Knight, obviously. That's number one. Number two is Chicago.
And
if you're not going to play in Chicago, number three is Sweden.
Disagree.
Then a 6-mile gap, and then playing against children.
I don't agree
at
all.
The reason he plays like an idiot out in those scrimmages, and he does all these crazy, he flips the puck. Just for those that weren't at scrimmages, this is the type, because we haven't really described what he does. We just keep saying he makes dumb plays. This is what he does.
They're not dumb. They're awesome.
They are awesome.
If they work, they're spectacular.
But it's plays
they just
that,
don't work
it's
all play, the time.
It's,
and one mixtape.
They are plays that coaches look at and say, what is wrong with you? Don't ever do that again. Yeah. And what he does is, if he has the puck and he's coming in the zone and there's no one to pass it to because he outskated everyone and he's the only one in the zone, instead of just dumping it in the corner, he will try to flip the puck behind the back of the defenseman, go around him on the other side, and then catch it in the air.
There was
like a soccer player would.
There was one play that he made where he comes into the zone, beats a forward around, comes behind the net. And then instead of making like a safe pass to a player on the other side of the net, no, he just puts on the brakes, skates backwards, toe drags in front of the net, and doesn't even get a shot off, which is fantastic. But it's like the creativity this guy has is amazing. And it's fine in the offensive zone. But where he really needs to try to figure out his game and settle down a little bit is when he's looking for that home run pass that isn't there.
Okay.
And he does that a lot in his own defensive zone.
You're right.
So when you watch him play in Sweden, you look at the numbers, and if you do happen to get, like, I've tried to find highlight tapes. They're not really there. There's no such thing. He's not playing like he needs to. The reason we love him is because he does this wacky stuff, and he's got this creative gene that makes us really like him. But then he comes here, and against kids that are playing high-end Canadian juniors, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So why do you think there would be no benefit at playing on a smaller rink against kids that he is better than? Because we hope that in time he is better than NHL players so that he can get the understanding of when I can do this, when I can't, what I can pull off, what I can't pull off, and understand that winning and losing doesn't mean nearly as much as it does when you lose and the 38-year-old that you're playing with on your team, his family can't eat this week because you, as an idiot, were making dumb moves. And we're Canadian juniors, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. So the reason he does all these crazy plays...
What happened to Paul Stastny?
Yeah.
We've got to get there at some point.
The reason he does all these crazy plays in scrimmages is because...
He believes he can do it.
Well, no. It's because that scrimmage is nothing to him because he's playing professional hockey in Sweden. All those other kids out there, and I'm putting Glass and Suzuki in there with them.
It means
a lot. That scrimmage is important.
Yeah.
And they want to win it, and they are playing their best.
I don't want to hear this lack of character thing that you're throwing out here right now.
It's not what's
the
happening.
No. It's not a lack of character. He understands what that is. When we all watch the scrimmage, this means nothing. We understand that when it's 11-5 and we're joking about the score, we understand that this means nothing in the grand scheme of things because we cover the big club.
Yeah.
Now, Tarek Baker doesn't understand the
I like Tarek Baker.
Yeah, so do I. And all these kids that have been playing in juniors, to them, this is a big deal. Brännström, because he's been playing professional hockey, it's not a big deal. And that's the mindset he needs to keep. If you send him to juniors and he's playing on this, you're lowering the level. And not only that, but as a smaller defenseman, he's not going to get better at being physical and push Nick Hag around like he did. But he's not going to get better at that playing against...
He's really not going to get better at it sitting on the bench in the AHL.
Unless he's getting better at it in practice.
And ECHL might be worse than Canadian juniors.
But what if he's just practicing with the AHL team and he's not playing and he's getting better at it and then eventually...
It does no good.
20 games in the season, he does get in the lineup and he plays against grown men. That's what he needs. And by the way, Ryan McGill agrees with me.
I agree 100%. With you. I agree with you. But I think that this organization does things for a reason. And when Kelly McCrimmon's owned team selects Erik Brännström, there's something up.
It's a conspiracy, Jesse.
It's not a conspiracy. Do you really think that just happened?
No, but I don't. I think it was an absolute last option. He doesn't want to go back to Sweden. He's not going to play in Chicago. We'll send him up there. That's like absolute last option. Like, just worst case scenario. Because that would be the worst case scenario.
You guys want to talk about Paul Stastny right now?
Yes. I'll stand on. I think he's going to wind up playing in Brandon.
Ryan McGill agrees with me that that would be the stupidest thing they could do. He essentially said that would be stupid.
Like,
did he not?
So when
kinda
do you? So you have that audio then? So no. When it happens, we can.
So the audio kinda. The audio was. I asked him how much has it helped him, his development playing against grown men in Sweden, as opposed to playing against juniors like the rest of them. He said, tremendously.
Yeah.
I don't think he could get anything from going to juniors. Well, essentially,
that's not what he said. That's not what he said. The direct quote is, I don't see why he can't develop in juniors.
No. That was after like 5 minutes of saying that it was stupid. And then he like backtracked. He realized like, they're going to use this quote against me like I am right now.
But it's not Ryan McGill's call.
Oh, of course.
And the problem is that he should be making the great play versus mistake at an 80% level like Shea Theodore does, where it's like he's going to make the safe play most of the times or the amazing play, and then there is a 15% chance that he does something crazy and it doesn't work. Eric Brandstrom does it at like a 70% chance that he's going to do something wild that doesn't work. But he also does that 30% makes you like go nuts.
No. But that 70% is in scrimmages that mean nothing to him.
I still think that's going to happen in camp. I still think he's going to be the same guy. I don't think he changes. I think that's Eric Brandstrom. And I love it. But I think that they're going to get to camp and they're going to be like, damn, this guy's nuts. We got to calm this guy down somehow. Let's put him there. And I don't think I think they need him to play in North America. I don't think he's going to gain much more playing another season in Sweden.
Yeah, that's why he needs to play in the AHL. And you tell Chicago, play him.
Can't do it.
Why?
Got the wrong AHL affiliate then. Better get a new AHL affiliate.
I think they'll do it.
Good luck. They won't.
I think they will.
The history of the Chicago Wolves says they will not do that.
They've had 1 year with the Golden Knights.
Right, but they've had 100 years with other teams where they will
not. But
not
with the same coaching staffs.
Yeah, they've had coaching staffs paid for it. They want to win. They believe that they are competition to the Chicago Blackhawks. They believe that.
But the coaching staff that they have now,
is
hired through George McPhee.
I get it, but they're still wanting to win. They have to find a way to win. They believe that it's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And that's why I wasn't a big fan of them going with Chicago. But that's what they believe.
So speaking of winners, Ryan Reeves is coming back. Anybody care about that?
Overpaid.
Keeps the bees off the honey.
Yes, the bees off the honey. That was a great quote.
Was it?
He was saving one.
It was a really good quote.
Stupid concept.
Does it really mean anything in context? Not really, but...
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you take away from that quote is George McPhee really thought this team was going to suck.
We didn't need to protect anybody. Like, we don't care if anybody gets hurt. That's totally fine. No, that's oh my God, William Karlsson doesn't suck. Yeah. Oh, we've got to go out and get Ryan Reeves. It's fantastic.
We didn't have anyone that would be good enough that I care if they get hurt. Is what he said.
Basically, yeah.
And then he's like, and then...
We did.
As the season went on, I realized, like, I might actually care if these guys get hurt. I better get someone so they don't get hurt.
That's great from an organizational standpoint. You're just sitting there like, oh, that's what the GM thought of us
didn't
at the beginning
Tom
of the year.
Did Wilson run a guy in the final?
Well, yes, he did.
Didn't Lindbergh get run and then zero players got run all year before Ryan Reeves? It's such a false concept. It's such garbage.
It
does not deter people from running people. It doesn't happen.
No, I completely agree with you.
It's not real.
What it does, or what the argument's going to be from people that are around hockey and that have been around hockey, is you have a guy like Ryan Reeves on in your lineup, you have more confidence to go out there and make plays because you know if you get run, he will answer the bell. That is something that I think actually does benefit players, having somebody that'll go out there and drop the gloves if necessary. However...
Zero career it's Vegas not, Golden Knight fights.
Sure, exactly, because they didn't want him to play that game after they got him. What happened? He plays against the Kings, loses his freaking mind, doesn't get anybody to fight him, and they lose games because of it. And then they say, you know what? You can't do that. If
actually,
you want to fight, that's
William
fine.
Carlson to, or William Carrier 2.0, and he wound up doing that and doing that well.
Exactly. So if that's what you've got him for, it's an overpayment for sure, but you do...
There is
make,
an element
you make
of it, yeah.
sure yeah. that you've got two guys you can put on your fourth line that are extremely physical, that can get in and lay the body on somebody and create a little bit of time and space. Ryan Reeves did that very well toward the end of the year. I don't hate it. I'm not like I really don't care. And the term is where it needs to be. The money's high, but it is what it is.
I agree with all that.
I also think another aspect of why Ryan Reeves is good to bring back is his personality, mm-hmm. is that of he can be the 13th or 12th forward to where on some nights maybe he doesn't play, on some nights maybe he does play, and I think he can handle that just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if that guy is And, like, I don't want to, like, make it sound like I'm... Like, Tomáš Nosek, I don't know if he would handle that well or not.
Yeah.
Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. Nosek seems like a good enough... Like, yeah, like, well, a, like a common enough guy.
We know that about Reeves.
Yeah, like Brad Hunt. You can scratch him every single night, and you're never worried that he's ever going to give you any less in practice, that he's going to be upset. Ryan Reeves is the same guy. You can scratch him every night if you need to, and he's still going to be great at practice. He's going to be hilarious in the locker room. All the players love him. They get along with him, and you don't have to worry. Every night when you're making your lineup, you're not thinking, man, I want to scratch Reeves, but we've scratched him four games in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe let's give him a game. And whereas with him, it's like you just purely make it on who is the best lineup we can put out there. And we don't have to worry about hurting his feelings because he's going to be fine.
And you talk about him in practice. He's still going to work hard in practice. He's going to elevate the game of other guys because they're going to see him working harder than they are. And then they're either going to step it up or they're not going to play because that's kind of how this entire organization is run. So Ryan Reeves, put that to bed. Paul Stastny.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Paul Stastny because... Him.
The guy who won't be scratched.
He won't be scratched, but he will be the second.
Tomáš Tatar wasn't supposed to get scratched either.
Okay. All right. But here's the thing. Second line center, yes?
In theory.
If Holla can move to a wing, I am not convinced he's that much better than Eric Holla. Mm-hmm. If you've determined we want those three to be our centers, Carlson, Stastny, and Holla, I don't think it's a given that Stastny is the second and Hall is the third.
I agree.
But I do think he is the second line center because I think they move Holla to a wing.
Sure. Now, Ken, I know you have an interesting theory about Tomáš Nosek and Eric Holla and what that might look like for a third line.
I think that they liked the Eakin third line type thing, where your third line has the ability to score, but also is fairly responsible defensively. Paul Stastny should be Cody Eakin 9.0.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, sure. He should be like 135.
Yeah, like he should be really, really, really good Cody Eakin. So now my thought is let's chuck another defensive minded player there. That's Tomáš Nosek. And then we find a winger who can score. Tatar, Hika, Peary, whoever it happens to be. I like this Daniel Carr guy. I feel like he's going to come in and be a guy who's going to do well. I don't know why. I just think he's like the classic Golden Knight. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he had 9 goals for Montreal. Why didn't they play him more? Oh, because they're stupid. Oh, that makes sense. Why we'll take him.
Brandon Carpenter. Yeah, he's Carpenter.
Or he's William Carlson. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, like, I, again, either way, my point is that I like the idea of Holla and the second line is a scoring line. We need a goal, and we got an offensive draw. Let's throw those guys out there. We're going to have a good shot at a goal. And then my third line plays against the other team's second. So it's Stastny, Nosek, and offensive-minded another winger.
Okay.
And that line is both has the ability to score, but also I'm fairly certain isn't giving up a goal. And then my fourth line is Belmar, Eakin, and Reeves/Carrier. That's my classic Golden Knights fourth line.
Yeah.
They will kill you and will not give up a goal. It's going to be great.
So my counter
that's
to
what my yeah,
no, 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 that and that makes
and
sense.
And then Holla stays as the center. Because why are you moving a guy who scored 29 goals?
So then Holla's at center with Tuck and Tatar.
Yeah.
See, I agree with you that I want... Like, there's two ways of building your lineup. There's, let's make all four lines as good as possible, or there's, let's stack the crap out of two lines, make them nightmares for the other team.
I'm the first one.
Yeah. See, when you say, I want my second line to be, let's get out there and score, I don't think Tatar, Holla, and Tuck is that, because I don't think Tatar can score.
I don't agree. He scored 25 goals, like, every single year of his career.
I want to see him score a goal as a Golden Knight.
He's got, like, 8.
None of them were because of him.
He scored in the Stanley Cup final.
Pretty much none of them were because of him. They were all
disagree.
Rebound.
The one in the Stanley Cup final was him. Now, he didn't get the goal.
What you're talking about is he didn't even get the goal.
The one that went off the run.
In the goal.
You're saying you haven't seen him score a Tomáš Tatar-like goal.
Where he dances around, where he snipes
the puck, where he does something really, really good that shows off his hands.
A skillful goal.
You haven't seen that.
Not a skill. He has not scored a skillful goal as a goal tonight.
I agree with that.
In 30 games.
I want to see that goal again.
Which one?
The one where Perron's laying dead in the goal.
So anyways, you're going to look up a replay of the Stanley Cup final? I thought you didn't do that.
You're right. I don't want to, but I'm going to do it.
It's not a replay.
Wait, that never happened.
No, this one happened. It was a Golden Knights goal. I remember it. It was good.
So to get back to what I was saying, I agree that I want my second line to be a scoring line. And I think to do that, I think the Golden Knights can have one of the best second lines in the entire NHL with Paul Stastny, Eric Halla, and Alex Tuch.
I agree.
That is an absolute monster of a line.
No.
Because, like I said, I think Alex Tuch takes another step. I think Alex Tuch could be the best player on that line.
I don't love the idea of pulling Halla off of a center position. He just scored 29 freaking goals.
I think he can score more as a winger because he doesn't have to play defense.
Completely agree.
I also think that the upgrade is possibly that Cody Eakin doesn't have to either play or be as important to my roster.
That's true.
And that, I need another center to make that happen, and I don't think Tomáš Nošek's that center.
No, I agree. And like I said, I see the benefits of yours. I'd like to see them both and see what they do.
That's what the regular season's for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's interesting, and because you've got a guy, I just think if you put Stastny with Halla and Tuch around him, that is an absolute dream scenario for him. He's a guy that is so creative. Ryan Reeves said it when we asked him what's it like to play with him. He slows the ice down. No. And for speed demons like Tuch and Halla, who sometimes it feels like the game is going a little too fast for them, especially Alex Tuch. There are so many times where Tuch just obliterates a defense and then gets to the
game's going too
net
fast,
and it's too fast. I think you put Alex Tuch in there with Stastny, and all of a sudden Tuch is now finishing those shots, and instead of, what did he have, 19 goals, not even?
Okay, so then
he now has 30 goals.
Why does it have to be Halla?
But Tatar is not going to score.
What if we put Nošek on that line? What if we put Nošek with Tuch and Stastny?
Because I want to score.
You don't think Nošek can score?
He's not a scorer.
I disagree.
I think Nošek.
I do not.
He scored
agree.
Like 8 goals.
He played on the fourth line every single time.
Almost every time.
He played with William Carrier or Ryan Reeves every minute of his season.
Almost every time Tomáš Nošek was brought up a couple of lines, if he played on a second or in a first line role, he was effective. He was generating stuff, and he scored at times.
Tomáš Nošek has very good hands.
Okay.
I think Nošek is good.
I don't think he's ever going to be Eric Halla.
I don't know if he's top six.
I'm not asking him to be
Eric Halla. That's why I want Eric Halla because I want to score.
But I want Eric Halla to be a center and scoring and being better than Cody Eakin.
But what if Halla is better as a winger? We don't know if Eric Halla could be better, could score more goals as a winger on this team.
Why are we changing positions of a guy who scored 29 goals on a Stanley Cup final?
Because what if he can score 35?
Well, because you brought in a center.
Because you bring in a center that has all this experience, that is a noted playmaker. Why wouldn't you want to eliminate or at least minimize some of the responsibilities defensively Eric Halla has to devote energy to and just say, you know what, man? Go out there, get the pucks, get it to Stastny, and get open.
Halla was not good defensively.
I agree.
He had the worst plus minus of any player on the team.
I don't disagree that he wasn't good defensively, but I don't need all of my centers to be elite defensively. I don't. I actually like the idea of one of them being an offensive-minded guy, and he gets 60% offensive zone starts.
Well, Carlson is an offensive-minded guy, but he can also play defense.
No, Carlson's a stud.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Carlson's a stud. Eric Halla is not Eric Carlson.
Yeah.
Or William Carlson. Jeez, yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself. But no. Also, I think, I don't know. To me, I think the idea of moving that player's position does not make sense.
I think,
and I'm not saying they're not going to do it. I think they might end up doing it. It doesn't make sense to me, but I don't think they're done yet. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Eakin got moved.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're done yet. So, I'm not going to go nuts and say that's ridiculous yet. Because on the current roster, I wouldn't be that opposed to it because it kind of makes sense. I wouldn't do it, but it kind of makes sense.
And we still haven't really talked about Bobby Ryan because, obviously, if there is an Erik Karlsson trade, Bobby Ryan is going to be a piece that's coming back. And where do you put him?
Now.
Winger.
Now.
Yeah.
If Bobby Ryan is on the team, Stastny, Tuch, and Ryan, I'm fine with.
Why is that different
because
than
Ryan,
Tatar? Why is it different than Tatar in your mind?
Because I have yet to see Tatar have a puck
You're
on his stick.
You're aware of what the perception of Bobby Ryan is, right?
He's
Tatar.
No, he's not Tatar.
He's what Tatar, the Golden Knights had of Tatar.
Well, Bobby Ryan scores. I watched Bobby Ryan in the playoffs
you
last year.
You watched Tomas Tatar
lead
the
Senators
thing.
To the Stanley
you
Cup.
You watched Tomas Tatar do the same Cup. Thing, but you didn't. But because he didn't do it with the Golden Knights, you don't believe that it's true.
No. Well, really quick. The Senators have given interested teams permission to talk contract extension with Carlson.
Giddy
sounds
up.
As if he's looking for Doughty deal 8x11 reported by Larry Brooks. They just and Travis Yost just posted. They also put Carlson personally in touch with GM.
Done. Let's
so,
go.
Let's see where that goes. Hopefully something happens there. But this team is going to look different.
Yes.
Very different.
Which is why this is all pointless, but we're doing it anyways because it's
fun.
This is why
you and I and Ken, this is why we talk. Yeah. This is why we obsess over this stuff because we want to know exactly what we're in store for or as best as we possibly can for the opening of camp.
Yes. My point, Ken, is Tatar could prove me wrong. He could do what William Carlson did last year and be what I don't believe he's going to be a scorer. I can't fathom it.
Now you
watch him. He's not even. But the thing is, so Alex Tuch did score goals, but let's just pretend Alex Tuch scored the same amount of goals as Tatar, but he had all those plays where he danced through the defense and was really close and just didn't finish. Tatar did nothing. As a Golden Knight, he did nothing for 30 games.
And you've talked about that as a lack of ability to get in on the forecheck. Do you think it's possible that with some tweaks to his off-ice conditioning and his better understanding of what the Golden Knights want out of him,
maybe
that he might take a step and be a better player?
Line mates would help, too.
Maybe, well, but I need to see
some consistency
it.
There, right?
Or I need ones. To see it with my eyes.
Like, he was given for a majority of his postseason career Cody Eakin and bad David Perron.
And when you look at Paul Stastny,
give me
and you look
good
at,
players, maybe he can score.
But Paul Stastny is a guy that can find players. Tomas Tatar is a guy that knows how to get open when he's in zone.
Yes.
That could be a very good combination.
I'd be surprised if Tomas Tatar didn't score 20 goals.
Another plug. My story that comes out tomorrow talks about their center depth. And in the story, I write a paragraph about how Paul Stastny could fix Tomas Tatar. He could fix him.
We don't know if he's broken.
He's gonna set, no,
broken.
He is broken. Not broken. He did nothing for 30 games. He was broken. That's broken. What Tomas Tatar was for 30 games is broken.
It was a trade
useless.
Deadline acquisition.
Jesus.
That's why you don't make trade
He was completely,
trade deadline
he did nothing. He did not. What did Tomas Tatar do?
Not a lot.
Ice?
I agree.
Nothing.
But he never
it
was.
Wasn't even,
like he's. We know what he is.
Okay, but you talk about his line mates. You realize Alex Tuch was on that same line for most of the year. And
I don't think Alex Tuch makes anyone better.
Alex Tuch made plays on his own. Didn't matter if it was Eakin and Perron.
He's good. He doesn't make his line mates better.
Okay, but I'm not asking him to.
Like, James Neal made his line mates better. Paul Stastny will make his line mates better.
Yes.
Tomas Tatar doesn't. That's okay, though.
Yeah.
Nobody he doesn't would, have to.
I'm not asking
him to help him to
no,
make him
no,
better.
But what I'm saying is Alex Tuch, on that same line, with the same amount of talent around him, once or twice a game, would make a play, whether he scored or not, would make a play where I'm like, that guy can play hockey. Tomas Tatar, in 30 games, not one time in 30 games
I
did
think
he
there
ever
was, I
make
think
a play.
There was a 30-game stretch where Tuch didn't either.
No.
In the middle of the season. Yeah.
No way.
We had an article, plugging Sinbin.Vegas now.
Do it, yeah.
We had an article a long time ago, and it was, where in the world did Alex Tuch go?
He wasn't
because
scoring
he
because he was missing the net.
Anything.
He was missing the net, but he makes plays to get to the net.
We talked to him about it. He's like, I'm not doing anything. It's not been good.
But that's okay. That's
that
the
was
product.
Tomas Tatar.
Right, but that's the product of a young guy trying to learn and figure out his way in the NHL. Tomas Tatar has years.
Yeah, but you
can
make
NHL
the
experience.
Argument that he's new to the team. He's
I,
new
no,
to the
organization. I completely agree with you. I don't think Tomas Tatar is broken.
I agree.
But I don't think that he needs to be the guy that's setting all the plays for everybody else. He doesn't need to be that guy.
I mean,
he doesn't need to make anybody else around him better.
He just
needs to be better.
We're talking about someone who predicted the Golden Knights to go 5-5 to start the season. Why are we even considering his
opinion? Remember when I was... Who did I predict that to, by the way? Who was the first person I ever told they'd go 5-5?
Was it me?
It was Ken Bulkey.
No.
And when I said they'd go 5-5, he laughed
idiot.
In my face.
Ken's preseason was
1-2-13.
They'd lose their. I thought you were 3-7.
No, they were going to be. No, they were. I said they were going to be 2-13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, but anyways, my
Suck
point
it,
is,
Sinbin.
I want Tatar to do something before he's right now. What we're doing is we're projecting what we would put the lines as,
which me someone as told us was stupid to do in June. Well, it's July now. So
me, no, that was me.
No, me as a coach,
I do think it's right stupid, now. They're going to get Erik Karlsson
making lines. And but I would not put Tatar in the top six. That's why I want Halla as the winger. That could change if Tatar shows up to camp, practices with line mates, and all of a sudden is the guy he was in Detroit. Okay, I'm fine with that. Put him in the top line, the second line. But
I believe
I don't think that's going to happen because I have not physically seen him with my eyes do anything good on the hockey rink.
And I believe that moving a guy who was a very good center on a Stanley Cup finalist is to wing is stupid.
I see your argument, and like when I look at your lines that you said, they look good. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Like I don't think those are bad lines. No. I just am afraid of Tatar in the top.
You don't like Noshik as a top nine guy either.
No, I'm fine with Noshik
on the third line is fine.
I'm fine with Noshik on the third.
I don't even mind him on the second.
And it's
Noshik, I just think it's not as good as Halla.
But Noshik on the third line and Halla playing center position moves Eakin down, and I think everybody can agree Eakin down is perfect.
Eakin on the third line would be great.
On the fourth, you mean?
Fourth.
Yes, I do agree that a Reeves-Belmar-Eakin line is lock tight. Like, that's going to be tough to score on for the opposing team.
Absolutely.
They're going to play really good defense.
I like that.
You have two centers to where when Belmar gets tossed, Eakin goes in there. Like,
I love the idea of the balance. I think they went to the Stanley Cup final in a portion due to balance. It then turned into they wound up being a standard team. They played two crappy teams in the playoffs, and that's why they went to the final. A lot of it was situational. Mm-hmm. When you really look back on the season, a lot of it was situational. They got put in good situations more often than they didn't, which is great. But
which
I still think they're a very good
which
team.
Which has to happen in order for you to get there.
They're a very
and
good team.
Every team knows that. Yeah,
they're a very good team. And Erik Karlsson would make them a very, very good team. And I would think this even when the bad situations come up, they can overcome them easier.
Well, I mean, it certainly isn't going to hurt if you have Erik Karlsson playing 28, 29 minutes a night. Getting you out of your own zone.
Yeah.
And the
not
power,
making
the
mistakes,
power play is just
playing
disgusting.
On the power play. Yeah. I mean,
it's awesome. Especially if you keep Colin Miller.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, anything else?
Can I play the line game? Say they get Erik Karlsson.
Okay.
Does Colin Miller play with Erik Karlsson?
No.
Oh, that'd be fun, though.
Yeah, it'd be fun, and they'd give up goals because they're both too offensive.
On a power play.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I thought you meant just regular.
No, on a power
Karlsson
play.
Lobbing the bombs?
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
It'd be great.
On a power play.
I don't know if they'd do it, though. They don't like having two defensemen out there. And I argued all year I wanted two defensemen.
These are my hands. They
need those two defensemen.
I'm not touching myself.
I would love to see that on. Yeah, and like I was one of the people all year.
Our producer did not like that whatsoever. I'm not touching myself.
He's over there looking up ridiculous stuff.
He turns around. He's like
porn on the computer.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Come on, Ari, you're better than this. You're better than this.
Is that a midget?
Is that a midget?
We're an hour and a half in. I'm allowed to do it.
This took a turn.
Yeah.
So anything else you guys want to hit real quick before we get out of here? Because Artie's, he seems like a really nice guy, but he's actually an asshole. So we need to make sure
you said the A word.
We get a little edgy
this
here.
This is awesome.
A little bit. No F words. We haven't dropped one of those yet.
Hello. The plug for my podcast.
That's
we
how it
say
is.
That mean word.
That's how you guys do it.
I've had a lot of people that have come to me and be like, I really like your podcast. And like, I always get nervous when I listen to it with my kids in the car because sometimes you go down paths that get a little dangerous.
Do you remember the conversation that you and I had when I was on your podcast way back when?
That babies are useless?
Yes.
Yeah.
That took a lot of turns and it ended in a place I don't know that I was comfortable with.
Well, welcome to me. Talking to me for more than 8 minutes.
Very true. It's risky bringing you in here sometimes.
Just said my hands and Karlsson Miller on the power play. That is exciting. I will enjoy that later.
All right, Ken, what are you working on? Where can people find you?
I don't work on anything ever.
You're not anymore?
No, we'll have stories up. They're not going to be good for the next like 6 months, but it'll be fine. And you just Google it.
What is your tweet going to be when Erik Karlsson is, in fact, a member of the Golden Knights?
Oh, wow. I haven't thought about that.
Mine will be Erik Karlsson has been traded to the Golden Knights. Super fascinating.
Hashtag suck it, Granger. That's boring.
I think it might just be an eggplant emoji.
Oh,
the most retweeted tweet in Sinbin history.
Just an eggplant emoji. Quote tweeted Eric Carlson.
Well, I don't think I'm going to need to quote tweet.
It's just an eggplant. Everyone's going
to
know.
Yeah. Well, you'll look at the timeline and it's like Eric Carlson to Vegas. Eric Carlson to Vegas. Eggplant. Eric Carlson to Vegas.
Eggplant. Volcano hair.
Hair?
Just like someone's hair, yeah.
That's
describing Eric Carlson.
I thought you were. Never mind. I thought it was going on.
What about a pirate? He looks more like a pirate. I think the pirate might.
I do like him as a pirate.
Yeah, so eggplant.
Is there a pirate
volcano
emoji?
Pirate. There has to be.
I don't think there is.
You're going to look that up right now.
Always. I don't know. What am I going to tweet?
I don't know.
Wow.
I'm not going to be. I don't know that I'm going to be in the room to prevent you from tweeting something mean, though.
There's no pirate emoji.
Yeah, you know what's the problem with that? When I do every tweet that I've ever like gotten borderline in trouble with,
yep.
I almost always show someone and they're like, "Yeah, that's good. Go with that."
The William Carlson one from
that one,
the,
I did
from,
not get guff.
You didn't?
No, it was great. That was a great tweet.
It was a really funny tweet.
That was a good tweet.
Yeah. All right, Jesse, where are you? Where can people find you? What are you working on?
I am working on a bunch of off-season stuff. Nothing really works.
How's your book doing?
Selling, it's flying off the shelves.
What kind of kickback do you get on that book?
I'm not going to speak of that on the air.
Do you know if your book is performing better than the RJ's?
That I don't know, but I would hope so.
You better investigate.
I'm not even sure if theirs is available for purchase yet.
I think it's not until
mid-July.
Do you know those books use the same cover?
They copied our picture.
Yeah, they use the same picture. Those nice. Two books have the exact same picture.
That's
on the
fantastic.
Front.
Then they wrote a story saying, "Be careful for imitations."
Wow.
Yeah.
Shots
that
fired.
Happened. What? The RJ wrote a story in the RJ saying, "Beware of imitation books. No one covers the Golden Knights better than."
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I remember that tweet.
That happened.
Yeah, that was
good
funny.
For me. That was a good tweet for me.
Yes, it was.
It was a pretty good tweet for me.
Yeah,
I was
that
surprised.
Tweet, yeah,
I
that tweet
I
was good
stories.
For everyone in
yeah.
this
everyone
room.
Everyone
yeah.
other than the RJ.
Yeah, that tweet was a win for all of us not in the room. Yeah. I think I'm gonna make a flip book of the season.
Sure.
And it's just going to be, never mind, I'm not going to say what it's going to be.
No, come on, go ahead.
I'm not going to do it.
No?
Anyways. It's going to be my excitement level as the season went on.
Through various fruits?
Just one flip book.
Just, okay.
And then just it ends with, it's not good. Not what just, you wanted it to end with.
Oh, jeez. Just a black hole of emotion you are. all right, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Jesse Granger _.
What about you?
Don't.
Creep.
Don't find me.
All right, I'm Ryan the Hockey Guy. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Hockey Guy. I don't write things, so you're not going to see any stories from me, but I do talk on the radio every now and again on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, which is going to be on once a week on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, every single Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Maybe one of these two guys will be a guest on one of those shows over the course of the summer to keep you interested. But we will be back, I'm sure, next week or something because, you know, Eric Carlson's coming and we've got to do a podcast about that because this one wasn't enough.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
What? What was that?
I got
that?
Excited when you said Eric Carlson again.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. On that note, we will talk to you guys soon if we're still on, you know, allowed to do these.